Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome into Monday, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com. I believe today is a national holiday.
For
the national people.
What is it? Draft week begins?
No.
Oh.
You can break down game ones of the NBA playoffs.
Oh.
As if there's not 100 more of these.
Nice. Very good. Like let's roll, baby. So, let's get into this.
So, no.
The play-in games were more interesting and intriguing to me than game ones of the series because, well, there's six more of them to go. The game one or the single game elimination play-in game, you're playing for your life at that point in time. And that's why I kind of like that. Give me game one. No. Give me game five with an elimination. Yeah, I'm probably going to watch something like that, right? Give me game six. Give me game seven.
This is ESPN's dream.
Oh, they love it. Yeah.
They're like, oh, man, we get to talk about individual NBA games and can force more Laker talk upon you.
Right.
So it's awesome. So
while you wait for more Jet and Cowboy talk, yeah, we're going to discuss LeBron.
How great the national holiday is today of game ones.
Did you see
series?
Did you see the LeBron story that came out over the weekend? And I don't know if it's an old story, if it's a new story. It was basically to the extent of that LeBron James is ready to out the one person who didn't vote for him to be the unanimous MVP. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, LeBron, are we still really like at this point, like this petty that we're going to try to find out the one person who didn't vote for you for the unanimous MVP and you're going to release that guy's name and you're going to like let that person know that you know and let the world know who didn't vote for
cares,
you? At
LeBron.
The end of the day, who cares,
you want
man?
It, right?
Yeah, okay. You did. But that's the pettiness of LeBron. And if it was Patrick Mahomes, we probably would be saying, good, go get that guy, right? But it's LeBron James.
Find out his name. That's his inspiration for next year.
That's, you know, well, that's exactly right. Yeah. We'll get the Patrick Mahomes inspiration for next year coming up this hour because something happened to him over the weekend that you're going to want to hear about. And so we've got inspiration to go 17-0, win every game 35-0 and take care of business and knock the Raiders in the face. I gave it away, but we'll get to it coming up a little bit later. But yeah, game ones are done and Joel Embiid is hurt. So there we have it, folks. Everything is the same in the NBA.
Yeah, no kidding. Peanut Brittle's down for another game, another series.
God, him and Zion both sitting there.
Most important time of the year, can't play.
Right.
So that's if you didn't see that one coming.
No.
From college.
Oh,
you
my
didn't
goodness.
See
wow. That's 12 years in the making right there for Joel Embiid. Yeah. Can't play in a big game. But if we make it to the second round, he should be fine.
So anyway, hope everybody enjoyed watching hoops. But we're not breaking it down. That's all.
Sorry. Not for us.
This is the can't win them all department? Or
well, I don't know what you want to make
team,
of it.
Good team, competed the whole series, look like you're the part for the Royals. Baltimore is stupid stacked.
Yeah, they are. They just keep running star after star after star out there. I mean, it's amazing.
Didn't win a series. Goals are to win series, but you did show your, I think, a competitor with the top.
Yeah.
And I think Baltimore is a team that's going to be there all season long, so to go toe-to-toe with them for three games. I'm cool.
Yeah, you know, that's what you kind of expect at this point in time. I mean, this is a team that's playing some good baseball right now, but maybe not quite ready to turn that corner yet. You always see this. You've got to walk before you can run, right? And I think that's kind of what we saw in this entire series against Baltimore, dating back to that opening kind of week when they were in Baltimore. And now, what, they go 2-4 against Baltimore over the six games? And so you'd like to see a 3-3. You'd like to see a win the series type of thing. But, you know, you take what you can away from what we saw over the weekend, got a nice win on Friday night, nice little fight on Saturday to come back after being down 7-0. I'll tell you what, was down 7-0. We turned it off and we were
on other things.
At 7-0. I woke up the next morning, I looked at the score, damn, 9-7. They fought back. Good for them. Salvi got a home run. Nice little comeback for them. And then yesterday just really never got going for them yesterday. I mean, you know, you give up 5 runs, you don't score any, you're not going to win. So that's where they are.
But the first time shutout all season.
Yeah, the first time all
and
year,
I'm thinking,
right?
Okay, that was what, game 22?
Yeah, game 22, right? I'm before your shutout.
And I didn't look because I didn't want to know.
Right.
I'm guessing they had a bunch before game 22's last
year. Oh, God, yeah.
And they couldn't score any runs, and it was
gross.
Couldn't
score anything, yes.
And so I was like, oh, no, this is total improvement.
Yeah,
I'm cool.
You're good with that.
I didn't search out the validation of that one, Bob.
Right.
But I felt it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, sure, right.
I'm sure
right,
there was somebody that posted something that said, they suffered their first shutout today. Last year, they were shut out blah, 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 blah times
right
before this day. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Right.
I just assume that was a tweet that was out there, and this is progress. So
well, but you got to start to win these games too, you know, eventually, not maybe this year, but next year. This is kind of the measuring stick to find out where you are, who can compete, learn how to win, all that stuff that we did in 2012 and 2013 that led us to, you know, 14 and 15. So we'll see where they are. But, you know, you were gone on Friday, and we talked about this stretch of 21 games coming up for the Royals above 500 teams. How are they going to do? Are they going to be able to tread water? Are they going to be able to maintain? Are they going to fall back? Are they going to move ahead? And I thought maybe if you just get around 500 in these 21 games and still be 5 or 6 games above 500 after the end of these 21 games, you're sitting at a pretty good spot. They're 1-2, and now the Toronto Blue Jays roll into town, who are a pretty good team as well. And so you got to figure out a way to start beating some of these good teams. You made your living beating up on the White Sox, right? And that's what you should do. Keep a losing team losing. And for the most part, the Royals kept a losing team losing. Now it'd be nice to go out there and steal some games from some of these winning teams. And with 4 games against the Toronto Blue Jays coming up now, 3-night and a day game on Thursday, you got an opportunity to go out there against another good team and go out there and take care of some business. So we'll see what they can do over the next four games. You split this series with the Toronto Blue Jays, you're not in bad shape at all. And you win the series against the Blue Jays, you're in some really good shape. So they've got their work cut out for them. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of bounce back from this series and take on another good team and continue to see if this team can get better. And hopefully at the end of these 21 games, Josh, we're not talking about when's training camp getting here, you know?
Hopefully no. Yeah. Hopefully no. This is where, though, because it goes from Cole Reagans, who got lit up on Saturday, right?
Oh, yeah. Did not have a good start on Saturday.
This sucks. He was a 1.93 ERA before the start.
Correct.
4.32 after.
That's big. Yeah, I mean, you give up a 7 spot, you know.
You know what I mean? Because it was like it was going great, right? Yeah. You're just like, oh man, that tiny little number looks so good, mm-hmm. and then it just goes
boom
with one shelling. So 1.93 to 4.32. Like, that was gone, and then it feels like it's just impossible to get it back, like stupid level again. Yeah. Like just one outing.
Right. It's like your bank account. It's easy to drain that sucker, but man.
Tosses the whole thing.
Yeah.
That paycheck comes in, that one big thing goes out, and you're like, well, I was back to where I was.
Now I'm even. You know, but you're right. It's like easy to explode those numbers, but it's so hard to bring them back down. And so it'll be a good test for Cole Reagans. Let's see how he responds, you know, after getting his teeth kicked in the other night. And so we'll see what he can do. Not everybody's going to pitch well every single night. And that's why, with the beauty of baseball, like you get caught up in game to game, that's why you can't do that, because you're going to lose your mind over a game like that on Saturday or a game like that on Sunday, you know, where the Royals lose two and you go, oh my God, here we go again. The wheels are going to fall off this thing. But there's an easy way to direct this thing back on track. Go take care of business against the Blue Jays. The Orioles are one of the better teams in all of baseball, and they have one of the best farm systems in all of baseball. And you didn't get smoked in these games, really. You didn't. I mean, other than yesterday losing 5-0, you didn't get smoked in these games. And so you were competitive with arguably the best organization right now in baseball, top to bottom.
I like being able to click on these stories again, too. Mm-hmm. I was doing it in my spare time last year, knowing a lot of times there wasn't going to be something there, you know, I couldn't help myself. And I'm like, I'm just clicking on these MLB.com stories and knowing they're not talking about your team or
even knowing who your team is.
Never going to be in a good way. But I saw this one. This was prior to Lugo's start yesterday.
Yes,
but 10 off-season additions already paying off in a big way. And I just saw that headline. I smiled. I go, there better be a freaking Royal on this list.
There better be somebody on that list. So, yeah.
And that hasn't happened, right? I click on these stories with lists, and if it's not a all 32,
right,
you're toast.
Or a negative list.
Right. If it's a negative list or they don't do every team's blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You're good chances the Royals weren't on
No,
it.
They don't even get mentioned.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, no. Nobody's, so I was like, nobody's hearing them.
I actually clicking this going, there better be a Royal on this list. And it was. It was Seth Lugo.
Yeah.
And then he got beat yesterday. But mm-hmm. It wasn't terrible yesterday. But
no. The offense was the issue yesterday. Yeah. Nobody hitting the ball.
Lugo has been an incredible addition for the surprising Kansas City club, allowing no more than 2 runs in any of his 4 starts. Registering a 1.05 ERA over 25 2/3. Obviously, that went up yesterday.
Right.
But the point was, I like being able to hit these stories, being fairly sure there's going to be something good involving the Royals.
Yeah, it's nice, that, right?
Like you're in the ballpark again.
Well, he's also in competition on this list with some really big names, too. I mean, when you go down it, Juan Soto has been by far the best offseason acquisition by anybody. I don't know that I've seen a better offseason acquisition for a baseball team than the Yankees going out and getting Juan Soto, like a perfect match. He's dominating. Fans are loving it. Like, that's been a great addition. And obviously you have Shohei Ohtani on that list. And yesterday he hit his 176th home run, passing Hideki Matsui for the most home runs by somebody who played in the Japanese league before coming over to the United States. So he's the league leader in that right now. And then Corbin Burnes obviously is on
terrific.
That list, who's been outstanding for them.
So
Seth Lugo's on that list. Yeah. With a lot of really big names, Dylan Cease for the Padres, Glasnow for the Dodgers. Like, you talk about some big names that were added in this offseason, and to have our guy in the mix, hey, that's pretty good. Seth Lugo. Now, that was good. How are you going to make the midseason like great signings list, right? Keep it going, buddy. Keep it
then
going.
Then I felt bad that I clicked on it when he didn't win yesterday. I'm like, oh, come on. Was it my fault?
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some Vern texts from last night, shall we?
We need some Vern texts from last night music. I don't know what that music
what
should
that
be,
either.
But I think there should be some kind of Vern text from last night,
like
maybe a little intro.
Some piano keys.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know.
Like, you guys can suggest what kind of music you want for Vern's text from last night, but this
always
one,
fun.
Josh, comes from the like a vaudeville type of music
or something.
Right?
I don't know why.
You know what I'm thinking? Like a barbershop quartet or I don't know what it is. Some kind of baseball-y type of
that's
of music.
That's probably old-timey baseball.
Old-timey baseball. From the 913 text from Vern last night on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Do you still feel these aren't the same old Royals, Vern? Yes. They're not the same old Royals. Just watch them play.
Yeah.
It's just a competent brand of baseball. You don't win every game in the major leagues. From the 816, all yesterday and today did was make me understand that we got a little fat and happy beating up on the Sox. Not crying. We're just not world beaters. Work to do. Yeah, of course there's work to do. It's a young club. They need to learn how to win. They're going to stub their toe. You got to find a way to not stub your toe as much as you did a year ago. From the 816, we suck again.
My goodness.
Really? From the 785, Vern, it sure doesn't take long for truly competitive teams to expose the mediocrity of this Royals team.
Oh, boy.
This will only get worse as the season grinds on. A team is only as good as its weakest link, and this team has glaring weaknesses. Early season exuberance doesn't change any of that. Any team can beat up on the White Sox. Doing so doesn't mean your team is any good. Yes, it actually does, because it's easy to go out there and lose games that you're supposed to win. They kept the losing team losing. That's the first step in learning how to grow as an organization. You beat up on the bottom dwellers, and the Royals were the bottom dwellers last year, and they got beat up on a lot. And finally, from the 913, Vern, it was a beautiful day at the K. It was embarrassing we played like the 2023 Royals. Hopefully, we can play like the 2024 Royals versus the Jays.
Some people can't be satisfied.
That's
the living and dying.
That's it. Above 500, late April,
crowd.
And boy, the single game crowd is not happy with what they saw.
13-9 behind only the red hot Guardians, who've started out 16-6.
How are they maintaining without Bieber too? Mm. Like, that's insane. What did you say their record
16
was?
16-6.
They're already 10 above 500.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good spot to be.
They're already 10 above 500.
Or that's where you crash. One of the
two.
The GM lays out the Chiefs offseason plan, which seems to have worked out very nicely for one side of the ball. We'll get to that next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix.
But what do people do with their ears?
Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds.
What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It is draft week, and make sure you come hang out with everyone on Thursday night. We'll be at the Landing in Liberty for the 6-10 draft party. The Character Concerns crew will be broadcasting during the event because we have day baseball that day, so all draft all night. The entire 6-10 crew will be on hand. It's brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Fill out your draft pick sheet. You can do it now if you want. 610sports.com. I would suggest kind of waiting until we get to the start, but you can hand it in before the first round.
Yep.
And whoever does the best is going to win $610 plus autographed Chiefs merchandise. And again, Character Concerns, that's Binkley and Kristen Osero. We're broadcasting live during the opening round. Come join us at the Landing in Liberty coming up on Thursday night.
If you want the best chance to win this draft contest, here's what I would suggest. Fill it out after the first round.
And then
stick it into the bottom of the pile.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck with that.
Cheat on your test, slip it in under the bottom of the pile.
So the draft is in Detroit this year,
is that
correct?
It is, yes. Detroit.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
I'm Eminem. This is Roger Goodell. And we are so fired up this year for the NFL draft.
Live from the D.
You can just say Detroit.
That's what I said.
And you said the D.
Detroit.
Am I being punked?
The D.
I love Goodell.
He's live from the D, which I can appreciate. That's funny.
That's really good, right? I was watching a little Sunday Night Baseball last night, and they had that commercial come up on the screen. I was like, oh, that's great. I mean, Roger Goodell, really since COVID, you know, and since he's really embraced being the heel of all of this, has been really funny and really entertaining, right? I mean, we've seen it over the last couple of years, him kind of come out of his shell a little bit and not care that he's the heel and become kind of the figure that everybody likes to boo. I still don't understand why we're booing Roger Goodell. I think he's done a marvelous job as the commissioner of this league. Look at where it is right now. So I think it's just funny that everybody boos him. But now, instead of fighting it, you know, Josh, like a lot of people do, he just embraces the whole thing and loves up the whole thing and gets into the whole thing. So I really appreciate Roger Goodell sitting there going, live from the D.
I'm already looking forward to Thursday
night. I'm Eminem. This is Roger Goodell, and we are so fired up this year for the NFL draft.
Live from the D.
Eminem. Excuse me.
Terrific. Just terrific. So Brett Veach held court on Friday and did his pre-draft news conference.
The board's going to speak, baby.
I would think. The board's going to speak. He's got 221 players on said board.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a lot, right? A lot. I heard that number when I was driving. That's, I'm like, what? 221 players?
For all you armchair experts out there, don't think you did homework on 221 players.
I don't think so. Well, somebody may.
Well, you shouldn't have.
Right.
Because
you're wasting your time.
You don't work for the team. They should.
Right.
Have confidence that they have. You shouldn't, because it's not your job.
Right. I love.
They have, and that's cool.
I just love the people who just criticize every single pick, no matter who it is. Yeah. And really, you have a hard time criticizing picks over the last 5 years with this organization.
So, well, the first-round picks, and no one ever likes any of the first-round picks.
Right, right.
For the Chiefs.
For the Chiefs. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right about that.
They haven't
liked
any of the first-round picks. Unless we moved up and then it was fine.
Then it was good.
But if you're at 32, they don't want
you don't like Karloftis and Trent McDuffie, right?
Well, they don't like the they don't like CEH and Felix.
Felix really didn't have any playing time last year.
Redshirt freshman.
Right. That I was just gonna say he had the opportunity to redshirt last year. We didn't really need him to do anything. Now he can grow into his role. Let's go.
So he discussed first off what the attack was this offseason, which was The D.
You got to attack the D. Yeah.
Much like Goodell, it was the D.
One of the things that I think was glaring to us was we were potentially looking at losing most, if not all, of our defensive line. Mike Dana, Chris Jones, Turk Wharton, Derek Nnadi. So obviously a huge amount of concern there, especially given how well our defense played last year. I mean, it was one of the top units in the NFL. Those guys have all played together in the system for a long time. So Chris, right out of the gate, was our priority. Wanted to make sure we got him done. And then I think there was a little domino effect there. Had the move with LJ, and we were able to bring Mike Dana back. But I think being able to secure that front with Dana, Turk, Nnadi, and Jones was really important to us. Bringing back Drew, Tranquil was important to us. So really focused on retaining as much of that defense from last year as we could.
Okay. So that was cool. Other than we're still now back to Dan or Dana. I thought we had it, and then we don't. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's Dana.
So defense was the priority.
We don't get credit for bringing back our own guys, right? Nobody gives anybody credit for bringing back our own guys.
We looked at the end of last season, and we knew we were going to lose some, if not all.
Yeah.
Dana, Jones, Wharton, Nnadi.
All three agents. Back. And they're all back, baby. Let's go, right? And it's not like you're running back a bad baseball team. You're running back a really good defensive line.
If you just said, what are the chances you bring all those guys back? I mean, none.
None. Somebody was going to go get a payday. Yes. And I thought it would be like Derek Nnadi or Mike Dana. One of those two guys I thought for sure would be off this roster. It was kind of touch and go with Chris Jones, but I thought at the end of the day they'd get a deal done with Chris Jones. But to have all the ancillary parts back, all the supporting cast back as well, that's huge, especially on a position that we know Steve Spagnuolo loves to rotate and change up a lot and use a bunch of different bodies on there. Why go out and get new ones when you have the same guys that know the system that are now more years advanced in the system that can go out there and just play and not think? And I think that's why it's important to bring back so many of those guys on the defensive line and the defensive side of the football. Like, we never give credit as sports fans for locking up our own and bringing back our own. Who did you get that was new? Yeah. What's the shiny new object? The Chiefs had the biggest free agent signing on the market this year, and that was Chris Jones.
He was the number one available free agent in all of football.
And they got him back, so you got to give him credit for being able to get Chris Jones back and then bringing back everybody else because they want to win championships.
So they really hit it all. They knew they weren't going to bring Snead back at that price,
right?
Pretty much settled on that early. Okay. So now shop, find the best move, right? So it's about moving him and focusing on the others,
right?
Also lessens the need to get a lot in the defensive line in this draft, which they feel is a little bit lighter draft anyway. Like,
sure,
there's some depth guys, but not
nobody you're going to break the bank over.
Right. But you need some depth. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, pretty much got your whole rotation. Yeah. And Felix, who we mentioned earlier,
right,
basically had a redshirt season. Now he's going to have to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a whole defensive line that's like done. Like, I could play tomorrow.
Right. And Charles Amenihu is still around.
Correct.
Right. But I know he's injured, but he's still around. It'll be good to get Felix those reps now early on in the season, right? At the beginning part of the year, he's going to have an opportunity to come in and play. I'm sure, obviously, Karloftis is going to do his thing on one side, and then maybe a rotation of Dana and Felix on the other side. But Felix is finally going to get some playing time, and I'm excited to see that.
Can you roll out with that group again
Right now, you could absolutely play. There's like nothing in the draft that you 1,000% need in order to suit up to play a game on Thursday, right? Let's say there's a game on Thursday Night Football. Could you suit up right now and feel good about this team and go out there and play
the whole team?
I think the answer is yes. I think there are some question marks. Obviously, there are some players that fill those question marks. But if you had to play a game today, I would imagine the Chiefs are in better shape than maybe the 90% of the teams in this league.
They're
right
the favorites,
now, right?
Whoever they're playing on Thursday night.
Absolutely, they are. Right, this week, Thursday night, they're the favorite. Yes.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. So let's go, man. Let's do this.
Like, don't take for granted that they got all these guys back, because that's very hard to, especially coming off a Super Bowl. We see it all the time.
Right.
People fly out the door.
Yeah.
And then
who did we lose this year? Really? From the Super Bowl team, other than Snead, is there really a glaring loss on this team?
Willie Gay.
Yeah. Willie Gay.
Maybe.
Yeah, but he's a rotational depth player too.
Right. And,
you know?
And didn't play all the time.
Right.
Did really good for his role. Mm-hmm. Didn't play all the time. Drew Tranquil takes on a little bit more. They'll have somebody you've never heard of.
Right.
And you'll be fine.
Yeah. And that's why I'm like, you know, with Willie Gay, like, do I miss Willie Gay? Am I going to miss him? Yeah, I am. I like him as a player. But is he a guy that I think we can replace and find somebody that can do what Willie Gay did for this team? Yeah. That's why they allowed him to go. So expect them to probably draft a linebacker, you know, in the mid rounds. I know there's some linebackers out there that a lot of people are coveting right now, but I would expect the Chiefs to probably get a linebacker in the mid rounds and probably address that offensive line. Address that offensive tackle position, because I still think, and we'll get more into this as the morning rolls along, Josh, but I still think the left tackle spot is the number one need for this football team today. I've talked to some people over the weekend who are like, I don't know that it's the number one need for this team right now. And somebody,
it probably is, but it also doesn't need to be like massively addressed.
Well, no, I don't know. I think you got Wanye Morris, but like, I just keep going back to what Andy Reid said. What was it last week? He didn't seem like he was 100%
sold on
him.
No, not at all. We're intending to bring in competition for the guy.
And that's good. And I think, look, I think everybody needs to have that competition.
The job hasn't been handed to his, but again, I could play with it and feel just fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you could.
And I don't have to play this Thursday night.
Right. I was talking to somebody over the weekend. I'm like, so what do you think the biggest need is? I said, I think it's left tackle. And they're like, I don't know. He actually said this. He goes, I hate to get on the wide receiver like need train that everybody else is on. He goes, but I kind of think maybe that's the position. Maybe that's the need in which we need to go. And I'm like, maybe. But if they go out and like a good left tackle is sitting there that they believe in, that they can draft or bounce up to draft or maybe move up to number four and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. if you're really, truly serious about that wide receiver position, I could live with things like that. But at 32, I still think you need to take the most impactful player on the board, regardless of what position that player plays, because we have seen it before where we reach and we draft and we take guys that we shouldn't and they turn out to be busts at those high positions.
We'll hear more from Brett Veach coming up in about 20 minutes. The character concerns, guys, mock draft scares me. We'll get into that. And our top 20 all-time draft picks. We made a list.
We got a list, baby.
It's coming next. I could play with it and feel just fine.
Absolutely.
Back in on a Monday, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler, Nathan Williams producing today. We've embarked on a little project for this week. Bob has unveiled the scroll.
This is like so typical you and I, right?
As we've gone super old school for this.
I just laugh because like so many people would have taken this exercise so much more serious than we did. Not that we didn't. But I've got this like art easel pad in front of me that's really huge, and I just have it written on
there.
It's
been sitting in the office. No one uses it.
Right.
It's looks like someone probably made a presentation at one point in time and then left it.
And left this pad, right?
And so I guess we decided to use it.
Picture something the size like Bob Ross would be painting on, right? And doing Pretty Little Clouds,
lovely birds,
and all that kind of nonsense. Oh, how stoned was that guy back in the day?
Puffy clouds.
Ooh, look at puffy clouds. Puffy clouds. So that's kind of what we have here in front of me. I mean, it's this huge piece of paper, and it actually worked out well for this exercise and what we were trying to do. Because
other than now when you have to unroll it to
read
unveil it.
Yeah. Yes. Hear ye, hear ye, in the town square.
We're giving it a shot today.
Yeah.
Oh, look, another top 20 list. How unique. Something that's never been done in sports radio before.
Mahomes looks that way. He's going to go wide open, left side, caught. Kelce, corner route.
Here is the top 20 draft picks in Kansas City sports history. Presented by Fesco in the Morning, who realize that you think their list sucks.
Over to first in time. Runner going to try to score. Wild throw. Hosmer gambling that he could dash home.
So our top 20 KC draft picks of all time.
Right. We're not talking just the Chiefs. We're talking all time, all sports with Kansas City draft picks. And so I enacted the help of, I'll just say it, Kurt Nelson of the Royals Hall of Fame, who knows everything about the Royals and was really good on this. Dan Israel of the Chiefs Radio Network, who was really good at understanding the past and knowing who was great back in the 60s. Josh and I put our brains together, and then for whatever reason, we invited Spectre, and he added nothing. So we came up with this list of 20 all-time draft picks, and we're going to reveal them four at a time over the next 5 days. See how we did that? And you can argue with us. You can debate with us at 913-586-7610. Tell us, you guys are stupid. How could you put that guy there? And we know we're stupid. We're fine with that. We don't care. So here we go. Honorable mention. Are you ready for the honorable mention part of this?
Because we got 21. Is that what you're saying?
No. Because we found this name and we went, holy crap. I had no idea.
I didn't know about this one.
You had no idea, right?
I didn't.
I feel like maybe I had heard this before, but I'm not 100% sure. So honorable mention goes to the Kansas City Kings.
Oh, wow.
Yes, the only
Otis
King.
Otis Bird song?
No, Otis did not make the list, but he loves us. Coming in, honorable mention, the Kansas City Kings in the seventh round, by the way. So they had like seven round drafts for the NBA.
Yeah.
Back in 1977 out of Graceland College in Iowa, Josh, Bruce Jenner.
Oh, wow. The Kings could have had Bruce Jenner.
That's right.
Wow.
The Kings drafted Bruce Jenner out of Graceland College back in the seventh round of 1977.
You think he told Lamar that?
I don't know. He's like, Lamar.
I was a basketball draft pick, too.
Yeah.
Talking Lamar. The Kings in 77.
So look there you go. Honorable mention Bruce goes to Jenner. Bruce Jenner.
Oh, okay.
Now you've got something to tell your friends later on today. Did you know Bruce Jenner was drafted by the Kansas City Kings? Mm. You'll be the talk of the office. You'll be able to pick up girls at the bar with stuff like that. Mm. At least tell yourself that. All right, coming in at number 20 on the list, it's not too soon, Bobby Witt Jr. Being the face of this organization right now, I think we have found our next George Brett. We've had a lot of people that wanted to be the next George Brett. I know it's early, but my God, this guy's in every MVP conversation already.
And some people may be going, oh, he's only at 20? He's still going to earn it a little bit.
Yeah.
He's going to earn it a little bit, but no, he'll be a riser when we do this list again.
Yeah, if we do this list again. I better save this so we can kind of get a track record and see who's moved up and who's moved out, right?
This list comes out at a later date, then, he'll definitely be moving up. But, hey, congratulations on a top 20, kid.
Way to go, Bobby Witt Jr. You already made a top 20 list of all-time Kansas City draft picks
there
in a good way. Coming in at number 19, we've got Graham Zusi on this list. Graham Zusi of Sporting KC.
Captain, longtime player, successful on the U.S. national team as well.
Mm-hmm.
Was a lifer, recently retired, but was a lifer. And I think MLS did one where they said he was one of the best super draft players of all time.
That's exactly right.
Across the entire league.
Over the entire
history of
the league.
He was a steal at where he was selected by Sporting KC. So
all right, we got to put you on the list. Also named after my favorite cracker. Coming in at, do you like the Graham cracker?
Oh, I was like the Zusi?
No, the Graham cracker.
Oh, the Graham. Yeah, Graham.
I like the Teddy Grahams back in the day. And then you had the iced Teddy Grahams with the cream in the middle. He had two bears stuck together. Oh, who didn't love that? Coming in at number 18, Carlos Beltran. Coming in at number 18, I think to this day, the most impressive baseball player I've ever seen in person in a Royals uniform. That guy could play center field like it was nobody's business. He could hit with the best of them. He'll never get the love here in Kansas City because he was traded and went on elsewhere. But Carlos Beltran, man, I had the opportunity to watch him day in and day out in those early 2000s, get to know Carlos Beltran. He brought a monkey into the clubhouse as a pet one time. Absolutely love him. I just think watching him play, the only way I can sum up Carlos Beltran was graceful.
Probably higher on this list had he been a Royal longer, right?
Yeah, probably. Sure.
If he had the success that he went on to obviously have throughout much of his career, had he had a larger chunk in Kansas City, probably would have been higher.
Yeah, no doubt. But he was just an amazing player.
Right.
Coming in at number 17, our final reveal of the day,
Well, the segment, yeah.
Well, no, of the day.
Of the day. Okay,
day.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, yeah, we're doing five days.
For 5 days,
Josh. I was doing my math there.
Yeah. Get the math right.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming in at number 17, Derek Johnson, all-time leading tackler in Chiefs history, friend of the show, obviously, during the football season. Derek Johnson is, to me, one of my favorite Chiefs of all time, and that guy just made play after play after play. I wish he would have got a ring.
Remember when there was disappointment that he went that high to the Chiefs?
Yeah.
You were all wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. he was great.
He was an unbelievable player, man.
So DJ comes in at number 17. So that is our start of our top KC draft picks of all time.
Right. We'll reveal 16, 15, 14, and 13 at this time tomorrow. I know you're waiting with anticipation and bated breath to get the rest of that list. Let me fold up my scroll.
There you go. Roll that thing back up. All right. That one's going to be hard to say. You have to find a large space. That's like folding a blanket.
It is, yeah.
You're like, where are we going to store this thing?
I think I can cram it into my bag.
You probably should just take a picture of it and save that instead
maybe
of the
too
actual,
big for a picture.
The actual thing. So I know you guys discussed the final character concerns mock draft on Friday.
Yes, we did.
I was a little bit freaked out.
Why?
It wasn't that they had the Chiefs moving up to number 23 to select A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver of Texas. That's cool.
You like that?
Yeah, I like the Chiefs moving to that spot. It was the fact that the Chargers were able to get Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 5 that freaked me out.
Okay.
I don't want him in the division.
No, I don't either, except on our team.
Well, I know he only wants to play for the Chiefs.
Well, that's been reported. Yeah,
sources. Been reported, not widely, but here.
Right.
That he only wants to play for the Chiefs.
That's
but
right.
He can't go to the Chargers of all teams, especially if Herbert is still there.
Right. And there's a great rumor he may not be, though.
Which he would be under this scenario.
Right.
I don't want them to continue to load up.
No, I don't either. Yeah. I don't want Marvin Harrison Jr.
Bye,
on the Chargers.
Keenan Allen, hello, Marvin Harrison.
Well, if he does get drafted by the Chargers, I'll just tell you he's going to be a bust because he's going to a bad organization right
now.
Well,
I don't know. You've got Harbaugh now there. This could be stabilized at this point in time. I don't like that. Michigan guy drafting an Ohio State guy too, going against the family.
Yeah, I don't think he can do that. I don't think he's allowed.
I don't like that at all. So that was my most disturbing part. They had quarterbacks going with the first four picks.
Right.
And then the first player non-quarterback off the board at number 5 going to the Chargers,
right?
Marvin Harrison Jr. That freaked me out. Better not happen.
But there's also the opportunity, though, to trade up to number 4 to Arizona, because as Adam Schefter is reporting this morning, that pick is definitely for sale, but they're going to wait to the draft day to take the best offer. Wouldn't it be an unbelievable, nice surprise if all of a sudden, with the 4th pick, the Arizona Cardinals have traded with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are now on the clock, and everybody's falling all over themselves to get the Marvin Harrison Jr.
That
Malik Nabers
so
at number 4. I mean, that's just kind of the way it's going to be, right?
It could go that way. Yeah. Yes, I could see how they'd pull a switcheroo on us at the last minute like
that.
But
absolutely.
Hey,
yeah.
I'd be good with
Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. I obviously, you know how I feel. Yeah. I want Marvin Harrison Jr., but Malik Nabers, the more I watch him, Josh, the more I'm like, okay, that could be a nice settlement.
I'd be okay with that one.
But, I mean, we've talked about it. I'm not opposed to giving up this year's first round, next year's first round, and the year after. So 24, 25, and 26 first round draft picks to move up to number 4. I don't think that's a lot to pay when you're picking at the end of the first round to move up and get an organizational transformational type of player that you can pair with Patrick Mahomes. This may be the year that you go out there and be bold and say, look, we got a year, maybe two now left with Travis Kelce, right? I mean, obviously this Taylor Swift new album that came out is pretty big. They probably don't need to work anymore for money's sake. So if you got one or two more years, maybe with Travis Kelce, and you've got this loaded draft of wide receivers, Josh, this may be the year to say, F it. We're trading the next 3 first round picks to move up because we expect to be in the Super Bowl.
You know where I stand. Love it. Well, the Chiefs shored up defense. They got quote unquote lucky to land this guy next. Back in, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com. Chiefs got lucky with this guy. We'll tell you who coming up in just a couple of minutes, but we'll hear from Brett Veach. But first, we need to hear from Michael Veach.
Who?
Michael Veach.
Never heard of him.
He's apparently... The police chief in Mount Morris Township, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he's any relation or not.
Well, he may be. You never know. Not a very common name, right?
Which has the story of the day, because
this is fantastic.
This happens.
Oh, this is good stuff.
This happens especially when you're younger.
Right.
Sometimes there's a bully.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes stuff goes down at the elementary school.
Right, you got to take care of business.
And you come home and like, how are we gonna handle this, right? Do you need to stand up to this person? You need to go,
right.
And then you need to bring your grandmother with you.
That's right.
So.
Police say a fight at a local elementary school was facilitated by a student's grandmother. The Mount Morris Township Police Department say it happened yesterday at the McMonagall Elementary when the grandma was there for a meeting about her granddaughter's behavior. Investigators say the grandmother held a student down in the bathroom while her granddaughter punched the student. The woman was arrested and is at the Genesee County Jail. Charges are pending arraignment. In a statement, a school official says in part, an unfortunate incident transpired involving a grandparent of a student who managed to circumvent security protocols and gain unauthorized access to the school premises. Adding, our school administration is diligently implementing all necessary measures to prevent such breaches of security in the future.
Mm. Thank you to WNEM News. In Mount Morris Township, Michigan.
Isn't that a great local news story right there? The whole thing about it. Grandma goes into school, holds student down, granddaughter beats up student.
We're going to go in for a meeting. We're going to talk to the principal. Oh, there she is. Let's
go get
follow
her
into the bathroom. I'll hold her down. You start punching.
Let's saddle up and go to the elementary school and beat up kids.
Grandma.
I mean, how old do you think grandma is? I'm going to guess probably in her 50s, right? Probably like our age, probably a younger grandma, right? Who thought of this idea?
Who takes this person to school because, parents are working, or maybe it's a single, who knows?
Who knows?
But grandma's heavily involved in this child's life.
Absolutely.
Yes, this isn't just grandma visiting. This is grandma's heavily invested in this child's life.
Right.
And to the point where, you're not going to do anything about it. I'll come help you.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, fine. We played the game long enough. We've asked the school to help. They're not doing anything. I'm taking matters into my own hands. This isn't grandma from, mama's family where the stockings are rolled down and she's got a walker and she's wearing a house coat, right?
Well,
with a purse on her wrist. This
maybe,
is a grandma.
But she then flips that outfit off and then she's ready to throw
yeah,
down.
She's ready so to go. Like, this is grandma going in, ready to kick somebody's ass. And, she could say, I didn't kick anybody's ass. I just held the student down in the bathroom while her granddaughter beat her up.
What a class. What a classy, classy operation you got going there.
Raider fans?
Oh, man.
Gotta be Raider fans, right? Have to be. They're in Michigan. They could be Lions fans.
But
I would think that screams Raider fan to me.
Yeah. Future Raider fan. And, the story wasn't in Florida or involving the Raiders.
Right, which is amazing.
So, Michigan. And the police chief just happened to be named Michael Veach.
That's right. Brett's brother.
So, Brett Veach, meanwhile, we heard from him a little bit earlier discussing the priority this offseason was getting players re-signed on defense. And they did a fantastic job of putting together their entire defensive line. And then he says, and then we got to the offense.
Right.
Where every year we're on the lookout for something. And this year landed with Hollywood Brown.
Like every year, whether it be free agency in the draft, if there's an opportunity to add a playmaker for Pat, we're always going to be looking for those options and played it out, so to speak, in some other positions. And I think we were lucky that, Hollywood situation played out the way he did, and think he's going to be a great 1-year addition for us. And he's going to set himself up nicely moving forward. So I think we're excited. And, it's like I said, every year is different and unique. And I think with the resources we had available, we maximized what we can do this offseason.
So, I like the 1-year addition part of that myself.
Yeah. I mean, you clearly know what Hollywood Brown is.
He's going to be a great 1-year addition for us, and he's going to set himself up nicely moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Yes.
You're here to kick ass for a year.
Right. Okay? And if you don't, that's on you. Right.
And then clearly it just sounded like they weren't going to overdo anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're lucky the Hollywood thing played out, the situation played out. He didn't get a multi-year deal anywhere because we weren't interested. Like, they were very selective. It sounded like to me anyway that we're going to overfind somebody, overpay somebody, overextend yourselves. Like, if a situation presented itself that they liked, they'd take a look at it, and it did with him. And so he's here on a one-year deal to prove himself.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I expected, though, going into this offseason. I mean, once they said that they weren't going to pay Tyreek Hill, why would they go out and try to pay somebody else's wide receiver on the open market? I just think they showed, I don't want to say showed their hand, but that's the best way to describe it, that we're not paying anybody at the wide receiver position $25 million a year because we got a quarterback that's making $50 million per year. And if we're paying our quarterback $50 million a year, he can make some guys around him better. And so that's going to be the approach at that wide receiver position moving forward, very much like what the New England Patriots did. Load up on the defensive side of the football, go kick ass over there, and let Patrick Mahomes make plays on the offense. But you go out and you get a guy like Hollywood Brown, he's going to make things a little bit easier. You bring a veteran in there. But also, I love the fact that Brett Veach is wide open with the one-year prove-it deal to Hollywood Brown. I mean, he says it right there. He's going to be a great one-year addition for us, and he's going to set himself up nicely moving forward. So basically, hey, we're going to give you a one-year deal to play with Patrick Mahomes. You go out there and tear it up. Somebody else is going to pay your ass.
Rent, don't buy.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, right? Yeah. And if you are going to buy, then maybe it's somebody in the draft where you know that that individual can be controllable for at least 4 years.
I meant Hollywood, don't. Rent, don't buy.
Oh, you're telling him.
There's no point. You're short timer.
Right. Come live in my basement for a couple of months and pay me a few bucks and don't worry about finding a place. We'll take care of all your meals. But I think right now that's what we kind of have to look at, though. If you want a long-term solution at wide receiver, it has to be a guy through the draft. And I don't think they're going to reach for a guy in the draft to be that long-term solution guy there. If they have an opportunity to trade up to four to get Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers or, you know, one of the wide receivers that they covet up there, then they're probably going to go ahead and do that. If they don't have that opportunity and it swings back and they're still at number 32, then there may not be a chance that they do go out there and draft that franchise wide receiver. They may go in a different direction and you may see them pick up a wide receiver in the second round. Again, that's why I keep saying the need for a wide receiver inside that building is not as great as our want for a wide receiver maybe outside the building. And they're not going to try to do something that doesn't make sense. They're not going to draft the player that they don't believe in, and they're not going to get themselves into trouble with that first round draft pick where they're going and saying, all right, we're going to draft this guy. He should be a third round pick, but my God, it's desperation time. Because they don't believe it's desperation time at that wide receiver spot.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station. Meanwhile, at offensive line, you may be reaching unless you move up, which is kind of what Binkley's been saying to us as well. Like, good top end tackles. By the time you get to 32, but a plug and play guy might be tough at 32.
Yeah.
And Brett Veach on this. Not necessarily, at least for their purposes, being a deep offensive line draft.
Yeah, I think the draft in general has some positional depth. Although it is funny when we're looking at the numbers and the general consensus is this is a deep O-line class, or this is a deep D-line class, or what have you. It's not necessarily true for us, I think, sometimes, because like for the tackle position, I think once you get past like pick 35 or 40, most of those guys are gone. So if you're picking in the top 10, it's a great offensive line class. If you're picking in the top 15, it's a great offensive line class. If you're picking 32 and 64, you got a shot maybe here or there. So I think that goes into, you know, the additional work we put in and putting a strategy together and what guys might be worth a move, depending on how it all plays out. And, you know, what other positions are going to provide top end value if say an O-lineman or receiver isn't there, and you know, do you go corner, do you go defensive line? I think that there are some interesting pockets there. So I think the good thing is that like every year there's a lot of good players, and it's just a matter of working on our board, our system, given the picks we have and the potential moves we can make.
I just like that. Like, yeah, there's some good offensive linemen there in our pocket. Yeah,
maybe not. Right.
That it's great up top, and then later on, I'd rather take a shot at another position at 32 than offensive line. I trust them to find an offensive lineman somewhere else.
See, I'm that way later. With corner, too.
And probably corner as well.
You know, they've done a nice job.
Unless things fall and a top corner kind of falls because everybody's doing quarterbacks and wide receivers and everything else, and right. You're like, oh wow, the second best corners, one of those things, I'd be like,
or
sure,
somebody starts to drop and you're like, oh my god, that guy's falling, let's go up and get him, you know.
But offensive line, like, it doesn't have to be a first round offensive lineman. Look at their group now.
You got a left tackle that, he's like a sixth round pick, Wanya Morris or wherever he was picked. You got a free agent. You've got a center that was a middle round pick. You got a guard that was a sixth round pick, and you got an offensive tackle that was a,
doesn't have to be there.
You know,
like,
no.
I trust him to find one wherever. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a 32.
Right. But I would love them. And I know, I don't think this is the draft to do that though, to get that next Eric Fisher, to get that mainstay, because I do think that is a position that is lacking to me on this offensive line. I just keep coming back to that and keep coming back to it. Like, I know the wide receivers, I know the cornerbacks, but for me, you get that mainstay at left tackle, you've got yourself, you know, made for the next 8 or 9 years. But if that guy doesn't exist and he's not available when you're picking, then again, same with the wide receiver spot, Josh. Don't try to force a square peg into a round hole by drafting somebody at 32 just because you feel like you need to draft somebody at 32. Find a way to go out there and get a player that can truly fit a good position for you and a good role for you moving forward. And if they end up staying at 32, Josh, and they have to take a guy like Felix who's going to have a redshirt year, by all means, go ahead and do that as well. Nobody's faulting you for doing something like that. You're a really good football team, back-to-back Super Bowl champs. Not a lot of holes out there right now. Some, but not a lot. And if you can't fill one immediately by what you want to do in the draft, then take a guy who's going to be on a redshirt year. There's nothing wrong with that.
Speaking of the draft, join us on Thursday at the Landing in Liberty. That's where the 610 Sports Radio draft party will be for the opening round. Come watch with all of us. The entire 610 crew will be there. It's brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Character Concerns will be broadcasting live during the event. We have day baseball, night draft, all right here. We got you covered on 610 Sports Radio. Also, you want to put up your picks versus what you think is going to happen. You decide who's going one, who's going two, who's going three. Mm-hmm. You can print out the sheet right now. I'd suggest waiting closer to the draft.
I'd fill it out after the first round.
Not how it works. Oh. You have to get in before the first round. But whoever picks has the best picks going to receive $610 plus autographed Chiefs merchandise to give away. Come on out and hang out at the Landing in Liberty with us on Thursday night. I don't know what a good gift is here, but this...
Do you think this is a bad gift?
Yes.
You do. See, yeah. I don't. I think it's a good gift.
It's cool, but is it really needed? Like, maybe they know him. Maybe they know him better.
Right.
And they say this is something he didn't buy for himself. We'll do it for him.
Well, John Sterling abruptly retires.
Sterling, the voice of the longtime voice of the Yankees, has announced his retirement. It's not like this, they didn't see this coming.
Right.
At some point in time. Now, did they see it coming like in the first month of the season where he's like, no, I'm going to be done?
He said he never should have gotten the spring training this year. He said, look, I'm just tired. You know, it reminded me, quite honestly, of Forrest Gump finishing his run out in the middle of the desert where he goes, I think I'll go home now. I'm tired.
Right.
And that's what John Sterling says. He goes, I just don't have any more energy. I'm tired. He goes, I just want to sit at home on the couch and watch all the baseball games. I don't want to call the baseball games. I'll watch all the baseball games. And so that's what I want to do in retirement. I just want to sit around. He said, I got 5 TVs. I can monitor all the games. He said, so old manish. Somebody from the TV company came by and installed everything for me and got it up and going. So the Yankees, which was a surprise retirement by John Sterling.
Yes and no. I mean,
yes and no, but like you come back for the year, then you're not thinking he's going to retire the first week of the season,
so
right?
You rushed out and got him an 83-inch television.
Right, and he says he just wants to sit on the couch and watch TV.
But he also
so
said
what's
he's
wrong
also
with that?
Got 5 other televisions.
Well, so what? Now you got an 83-incher. Now you got 6. Now you got the main one, Josh, and you can surround it.
Feels like they're like, I don't know what to do. Let's go get him a TV.
Well, what would you have done?
I don't know.
I think people think this is a bad gift because it was the Yankees, and they expected, a car?
I'm sure they're going to do other things for him, but I just felt like, oh, well, here's a gift card. Go get yourself a television. It's waiting for you at the dock at Nebraska Furniture Mart.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, like X, formerly Twitter, obviously did not like the gift. And there were some funny comments from that. Somebody said the Yankees went to Best Buy for John Sterling's retirement gift, and the fans really think they're going to keep Juan Soto. Somebody else tweeted out they 100% forgot a gift and found this in the back room somewhere at the stadium.
That's not like they took
which
it.
Made me laugh.
They're like, oh, no one's using that TV. It's like some back office, and they they took it off the thing that was hanging on the wall, you know, and still got the screws in the back of it, and they just handed it to him.
Yeah, here you go. We haven't found the legs yet,
but here's the rest of the television.
Where's the remote?
Needs batteries. Needs batteries.
Be like giving somebody that exercise bike that's wrapped in Saran wrap at Kauffman Stadium, you know, or what Detroit Derek always texts us, the All-Star Game decorations that are still out at Kauffman Stadium in the roundabout, right? Like, you know, one of the circular walk-ups, they still have All-Star Game decorations in there from 2012. We're talking 12 years ago. Throw it out. It's garbage. It's time to move.
I feel like they could have done better. That's all.
I don't know, but what is better? What do you give the voice of the Yankees? Like, you don't want to give them a rocking chair.
Now, if they had more time to prepare, they needed to give him some sort of send off from you know, Yankee greats over the years, right? Whether it's a gift or a couple of them there in person or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. He announced it just a few, you know, it was pretty abrupt.
Yeah, it was abrupt. I mean, you know, he did spring training. He went on the first road trip and went, I'm tired. I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore.
I've decided.
It is high, it is far. I'm gone. You know, I'm like, and so John Sterling, like, just walked out the door and like, it's really weird. Like, okay, but he is 83 years old. So that's why it's like 83 inches, I guess, or maybe he's 85, but 83 inches, 85, whatever the case may be. He talked at his retirement ceremony. He goes, I got a great apartment, first apartment I've ever really loved. I can sit around and watch TV all day. So the Yankees gave him an 83-inch TV.
Okay.
Until you tell me what would have been a better gift, it's hard to argue. I think people are just mad because it's the Yankees and they feel like, oh, he should have been given the stadium or a house or a car or something like that. But again, had they had all offseason to prepare, I guarantee you they weren't going through George's office trying to find something to give this guy.
Ryan LaFever rules.
He really does.
If you've been monitoring around baseball, we've had some questionable umpiring going on.
Oh, my God.
And we've had complaining about umpires and the Angel Hernandez calls for, you know,
yeah,
him not to do your games, mm-hmm, and what have you. So this was on Saturday.
Fastball is right down the middle for ball one.
What? My goodness. Not on pitch one.
What part of that pitch was not a strike?
Well, oh, but that one was. Oh, God. Oh, well.
What? My goodness. Not on pitch one.
Yeah. Announcers are getting very free to call out these umpires because I think, like everybody, I know the games have been sped up, so it's not like you call ball one and it's elongating these games because the games are moving faster maybe than they've ever had before in baseball, but it continues to shed light on why we need to have that automatic strike zone, because you can't continue to go into games and have them ruined from the beginning by the umpire calling balls and strikes that aren't balls and strikes. This happened in Philly, Chicago.
We go to the top of the third. Nick Castellanos is wondering, like everybody else, where that pitch was. Inexplicable.
There's another one.
And Nick Castellanos involved in yet another.
Yeah, right.
He's in the middle of everything.
He
always
really is, right? So that was just two of the calls from this weekend that I saw where they had, you know, the TV announcers complaining about bad umpiring. The sooner that Major League Baseball can get to that automatic strike zone, the better it is going to be for everybody else, because I think there is still a lot of anxiety going into these games right now when you see certain umpires. Like Sean Barber was umpiring yesterday. Did you know he was an umpire?
I saw that yesterday.
I didn't know Shop was moonlighting.
I don't think it's our guy, but maybe.
Oh, I didn't know. I saw Sean Barber was umpiring yesterday. I'm like, cool, he's got himself another gig umpiring, you know, Major League Baseball games. Way to go, Barber.
He can do it.
He absolutely could do that, probably better than a lot of these guys. But you get that automatic strike zone in place, and we take it out of the hands of Angel Hernandez. And the Angel Hernandez conversation is going to be going until Angel Hernandez is no longer umpiring in Major League Baseball. I think it was last week that even Ken Rosenthal, Josh, said it's time for Major League Baseball to remove Angel Hernandez from the game. And when you have one of your big-time ball washers for the game saying it's time to get rid of this guy, well, then you know it's time to get rid of that guy. And Major League Baseball now needs to, as they've improved everything else with the pitch clock and, you know, increasing runs and speed and all that kind of stuff that we love about baseball right now, it's time to figure out a way to take the umpires off calling balls and strikes, get that automatic strike zone in there, and just let it be done by computers, because I think the players and fans, quite honestly, are just tired of it. Every single game, your dukes are up, ready to fight whoever is umpiring behind home plate because they're missing calls, and it's happening a lot now during Major League Baseball games.
A wild scenario involving the Chargers getting worse that we'll get to next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.